You are all welcome to the first morning session of our December seminar titled Laws of Fruitfulness. This is a career and business seminar for the morning. So we've come to learn about business. We've come to learn the mind of God about our careers. So you are very much welcome. Before we take our first session for today, please, if you have any question that is in your heart that you need answers to, that you need clarification about, please write it in a piece of paper and send across to me or to Pastor Kemute. I will get it. Please write your question on a piece of paper and pass it across to me. It mustn't be about the things discussed today. In fact, I believe it will be about things disturbing you, not about things discussed today. So please, we have this morning and tomorrow morning to discuss on our businesses and our careers. I believe God will give us wisdom to handle those questions by the end of tomorrow. In Jesus' name. So please to teach us about that this morning, I want to call on Pastor Banky. Yeah. All right. God bless you.
All right. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right. Let's declare God's word together. All right. Everybody, I think we know, most of us know it by heart. All right. And if you don't, just move your mouth and pretend like you do. All right. One, two, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
All right. Insight, understanding, skill. I like that word. Skill and understanding is your portion today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will tell you what to do today. You will know it. You will understand it. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. All right. Quickly open your Bible to the book of Luke chapter 12. The book of Luke chapter 12, I want to just read that just to bring out something. It's a portion of the Bible we all know. And of course, like the David Paulson says, if he said that anytime he wants to preach, he likes to read the word. Because even if he talks nonsense after that, you will have been blessed. All right? So that's one area where you can never go wrong, reading the Bible. So I talk a lot of rubbish today and you leave here without learning anything. Let me read the Bible, okay? The Lord is good, though. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's read from the book of Luke, chapter 12. I want to begin from verse... Let's just start from verse 13, okay? Where I'm going is verse 20, but because I want to save a lot of time, I will not read it slowly. I'll be a bit quick. He said, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed." Please, I can't resist King James here. He said, "Beware of covetousness." All right? "For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses." Now, what is he saying here? Let's read the New American Standard, which I was reading. "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." Now, where I want to read from actually is verse 16. "And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, This very night, your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? He said in verse 21, so is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, I'm not going to discuss today, really, primarily on what it means to be rich toward God, but I want to just not bring out, I read this for a particular reason, which we'll see in a moment. You can look up from your reading. If you read any of our books, there's something we always write at the back, all right, that the focus of my teaching, that's as a preacher, as a teacher of the word, is to separate the church from the world through the teaching of truth. Now, what do I mean by that? And that is that there are many things taught, practiced in the world today. The church is not supposed to behave like that. Jesus made it clear. He tell you that you know amongst the Gentiles, their rulers lord it over them. He said, but for you, it is not supposed to be like that. What am I going to say? How we do things, the purpose for which we do things, is different as Christians. Jesus said, I'm sending you out as sheep amongst wolves. So the fact that there is a threat to your existence, Jesus knew about it when he sent you out. Are you getting my point? When he sent you out as sheep amongst wolves, it means that they are likely to devour you. He knew about that. So when people tell you that this is how things are supposed to be done, otherwise you will not make it. That is the very reason you must do that way by which you will not make it. Because Jesus said you are sent out as what? As sheep amongst wolves. He understands that you may be devoured. You are not sent out to go and survive. Are you getting my point here? Now, you see what I'm saying in a moment. So let's get it clear. Because this is what happens. A lot of times, we Christians are derailed from the main reason why God sent us out. Do you understand my point? That is what the issue is. We are derailed. And why are we derailed? Simply because we have the same set of standards for measuring success. We have the same set of rules. All right, we say it all the time. Richest man in the world, Bill Gates. Who's the current one? They keep on changing. About five of them keep on exchanging it. Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Carlos Slim, Amancio Ortega. You know, who's the other guy? Then Mark Zuckerberg is rubbing shoulders with the big boys now. Are you getting my point? I will keep on listing them as the richest men in the world. Who's the richest black man? Our good friend, Alhaji Aliko Dangote, who I have never liked because he's a rich man. I like because of what he's doing in Nigeria. That's just my own. Even if he says he's the poorest black African, it doesn't concern me. Is he building a refinery that's going to solve all our importation problem? May the Lord keep him until he has finished building it. And he will continue to live as long as he's investing new investments. When he stops, my prayer will move to somebody else. Do you understand? So, you know, we have this set of standards we use. And then, of course, Forbes gives us a list every year. And how do they measure their own? Basically, how much wealth? Well, they have a bit of a good side to it, but there's also a second side to it. They measure it simply, that is a bad side. They measure it basically based on how much wealth you have laid up on the earth. It's what you lay up they measure. Of course, as part of it, they also measure how much industry you have created and all of that. Things are in your possession. That's how they measure wealth. But we have read again and again from Revelation when Jesus was speaking about the churches. There's a group of people that we will say is rich, and Jesus will look at them and say they are very poor. And there's a group that will say they are poor, and Jesus will look and say these ones, they are very rich. All right? You look at the church in Sardis. He said, I've heard of your poverty. Say, actually, you are very rich. Look at the church in Laodicea. I've heard you think you are very rich. He said, but actually, you are poor. You are wretched, you are blind, you are naked, you are hungry, you are stupid, you can't see anything, you don't know what's going on. You know, he gave all kinds. Nah, you know, I embellished it a bit. Are you getting my point? All right. But that was his assessment, that these people were very, very poor. So we have to be careful that we don't read the standards of the world as a way of interpreting whether we are doing well or we are not doing well. Our yardstick must be different. What we use to measure who is successful must be very, very different, okay? That's what I want to just explain briefly this morning. Why did I read this particular portion? Okay. And I just to bring out, of course, wanted to read the Bible and to highlight something that if you look at the world today, if you place this man down, this man will have been a very successful man. If you read Robert Kiyosaki's books, it's amongst the few I've read in those areas. They teach you how to retire early. This man is a vintage example of a man who retired early. He said, take your ease. What else are you working for? And Jesus called him a fool. Any man that's walking towards retiring early is a fool. See our definition? Not our own, it's God's. They say retire, you know, you work hard so you can retire early so that you don't have to go to work again. That's not gospel. That's not the life of Christianity. These are little things, okay, we talk about. I try to read so I can be very informed. You know, one of the business things I watch a lot, just to keep, I learn a lot of it, especially from it, especially when Mark Cuban is talking, is this series, Shark Tank, which is the American version of Dragon's Den, okay? There's a man there, his name is, what's that guy's name now? Kevin O'Leary, or the O'Leary or something. Yes, Kevin O'Leary. Now, if you watch it, Kevin O'Leary always tells you all that matters is money. After all that matters is what? Money. Before he makes his investment, all he cares about is, will this return what I have put in? That's all he cares about. He doesn't care about any other thing. Now, that is evil. What did I call it? That is against the will of God. A Christian was never reasoned like that. If you also watch the same program, this man, what is his name? Fubu. Yes, so if you watch it also, you see Demon John. Demon John tells you that it's good to be greedy. Say, I like you, you're like me. You're hardworking, you're smart, and you are greedy. No matter how funny it sounds, it's evil. It is evil. It is wrong to be greedy. In fact, I'm using the New American Standard. He said, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. No matter how nicely painted it is, if it's a form of greed, it is wrong. No matter how beautifully painted it is, if one of the most successful black men in America sits on TV, his name is Demon John, and he says it's good to be greedy, tell him it is wrong. You cannot teach me what is right. Just talk. Let me be learning. Let me be listening to the things you are saying. I know how to filter them. Like somebody said, when you are listening to things, you have to be like the cow. The cow, when it's chewing, it puts everything in his mouth and just be watching it, swallows the grass, and spits out all the sticks. So you see a stem. It goes with the stem, chews. You think it's blind to swallow the stem. No. There's a way it just filters, removes all the leaves, and all the sticks will be dropping from the corners of the mouth. So Demon John tells you it's good to be greedy. It's a lie. The Lord Jesus said it is wrong to be greedy. Are you getting my point here? So now, why did I read this? You'll see that this man was successful by worldly standards. And Jesus told us this man was a fool. Many successful people in the world, the Lord looks at them and says, you are a fool. God does not mark richest man in the world list. He doesn't care about that list at all. Many years ago, as a younger believer, of course, when I was then the word of faith on how, you know, spiritual things work, how faith, you know, get everything. The Lord Jesus is Lord, amen. Why don't you, when I see richest people in the world, if you see, people always try to prove whether they are Christians or they are Jews. Very silly endeavor. Trying to prove that the richest man in the world is a Christian or is a Jew. Is irrelevant. You get my point? If he's a Jew, I'm not going to become a Jew. And the Christians are writing books on the secrets of Jews. It doesn't impress me. Read the Bible and find out what the Lord says Christians should do. Whether I get the results the world says is good or is I don't get it is irrelevant. Reasons are very, very important. You know, when the world wants to say, is this company successful? And you see what's going on in the world today. They are fulfilling prophecy anyway. Every day, they are laying off. The other day I read that, Airbus or Boeing is cleaning off about 1,000 jobs in Europe again. You hear it's a normal thing. This bank is consolidated with the other one, the big international banks, and they are going to lead to a loss of 6,000 jobs in Europe, 5,000 in America, and 2,000 in Africa, and 5,000 in Asia. Why? They are consolidating. What are they trying to do? They are trying to reduce the number of people that work so that they can boost profits. They call it the bottom line. That's not Christianity. We have to be careful. And listen, there's one thing I always say. The kingdom of the Lord Jesus rules over all. That's a matter of fact. What is said eventually will be proved to be correct. So don't let people push you into, using worldly standards to measure who is successful, who is not successful. There are certain races as believers we must never get involved in. All right? At the age of this man was a millionaire, was a billionaire. Believe me, it has no meaning. It has no meaning. The meaning is zero. It doesn't have anything to do with his personal ability. People don't seem to be able to understand that thing. It has nothing to do with your personal ability. Oh, this man was a billionaire at the age of 35. It has no meaning. It doesn't mean he's smart. Smarter people than him were dead at the age of 36. Do you get my point? People much, much smarter are on drugs. The fact is that most people in this life, they are basically, according to scripture, they were lucky. Lucky in quotes, I will explain it. Because time and chance happened to them. Do you follow my point? Time and chance happened to them. So don't let anybody, we must be careful in life, we don't let people push us to where, at your age, Mark Zuckerberg was a billionaire. So, do I look like him? Do I have the same purpose in life? I mean, what did John the Baptist do to be filled with the Holy Spirit from the mother's womb? People like to compare. At the age of 10, this man was laying on the sick, they were recovering. At the age of 10, Saul was just warming up to start killing people. At the age of 20, he had learned enough to be able to persecute the whole church. All the time, Jesus was going around. Saul was alive that time. But he never knew Jesus. Because Jesus operated mostly in another part of Judah. A part that Saul didn't used to go to. So he didn't know what he looked like. The first time he really got involved with this Jesus matter was when the disciples began to spread. And they were trying to explain that the temple had passed away. That's when the guy got provoked. By the time he became a believer, are you getting my point? They had to be telling him what Jesus was like. It was one person that didn't see him one day, all the days he was on this earth. It was after resurrection that Jesus used to appear to him. On the way to Damascus, he encountered him. So John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. Waiting consensus. That's the way you like it. In that age of 30, they removed the head of John. We know his age. He and Jesus were just 6 months apart in age. So Jesus was just waiting for them to finish imprisoning him. Please, you are getting the principle here?
Yes, sir.
So let's forget all this comparison. At the age of 30, Joseph's life was beginning in the palace. At the age of 40, Moses' life was ending in the palace. His ministry began at the age of 80. So forget all of these things. Mary Kay Ash, who I quote once in a while, she began her business after she retired. So please, let's forget all this comparison that the world does. All right? Those are the points I just want to make this morning. All right? The world is not allowed to teach us anything concerning what is success. Now, but what I wanted to bring out is that now the Lord Jesus looked at this and said, this man, having laid up everything, is a fool. Do you understand? That tells that the purpose of planting, sowing seeds, is not to harvest enough to be able to lay up. That's what I wanted to bring out. When Paul was going to talk about the need for people to work, he said, if a man is not doing anything, don't give him food to eat. Now, this is the interesting part. David Paulson said the young man came to his house waiting for him to go and eat lunch. So he refused to start. Food was ready. He refused to go and eat. After a while, the man asked, are you not going to take your lunch? The young man was hungry. David Paulson said, yeah, I'm going to take my lunch after you leave. I'm waiting for you to go. Then I will come and start eating. So the man said, I was kind of hoping I could join you. David Paulson said, the Bible forbids me to give you food. The young man was alarmed. What? Let's make a long story short. He looked at him and said, you are not working. If you are not working, you should not eat. He led the man out of the house. He didn't give him anything to eat. The man came back and like a year later and said, now you can give me food. Why? I started working. Now the work he was working was not what was paying for the food in this man's house. It wasn't. I just want to illustrate a particular point. So Paul was not saying that you need to have food, work to be able to eat. He was just saying, we will punish you by starving you if you are not doing anything. But if you are working and it's not producing, we understand. If we bear witness, you know, we have testimony that you're a diligent and serious person. It's just that things didn't work out well the way you planned them. We will understand. But if your father is very rich and you have a lot of money, if you come to our house, we shouldn't give you food. Because the concept about it is to discipline you. Now, so, Paul now said, what is the purpose for work? He said it's so that the person will have something to give. When Paul was going to encourage people, he said, let the one that is stealing not steal anymore. And there are different styles of stealing. Oh, there are different methods of stealing. Let me not start with that. There's the obvious one. You see, the money is not your own. You collect it, you pocket it. Who took it? I don't know. You can use a gun, fire into the air. Everybody drop your phone. That's another method. But there are other methods. I've seen plenty of it. I've also been selling maybe phones. You can't afford it. You now go and say, let me, how much is it? Tells you 50,000. Can I pay you small, small? You say yes. So you collect the phone. And you start paying small, small. 2 years later, you are paying only 20,000 out of 50,000 on the phone. You're a thief. Yes, you're not planning to pay. You knew how much you were earning when you went to buy a phone, a smartphone. You're a thief. There are different styles of stealing. Let's not talk about that in detail. But Paul now said that, look, if anyone is doing that, let him stop. Let him walk with his hands. And he said the reason is so that you have something to what? To give, to be able to share with those who are in need. It's amazing that Paul did not say, so you have food to eat. That's why I said the primary purpose of income is, first of all, he said, God gives seed to the sower and then bread for food. Therefore, what must be primary in the mind of a believer is how I can give. That is first. And giving again is not just take cash, offering basket. That's not the primary thing. That's not the only way. That is good. That is right. To dip your hand in your pocket and dash somebody cash is very good. To go to church, see an offering basket, and make it fall by the weight of your offering is good. Are you getting my point? It's very, very good. You know, one day one brother sent Kingdomward money. Somebody I know well. So, because I know him personally, I called him just to acknowledge that we saw the alert, which we only get by email. We don't have any phone number on our account. So, I said, I did not know a computer could vibrate. You know, when your phone sometimes vibrates. I said, when your alert entered, the computer shook. Because the money was plenty. So I called him, I said, when my computer begin to vibrate, I don't know, say now you. So he had a very good laugh, you know. So it's good. These are very, very good things to do, okay? But that's not the only way you give. A businessman goes out of his way, and primarily in his mind, is not what to lay up. That's where I'm going. It's not what to eat. The Bible says the primary thing is what? What to give. So now, that's why I read this. So let us understand, purpose is very important. We must have a different mindset from the world. And listen, like I said yesterday, we are operating by grace. We are preparing ourselves. I must make that point. We are preparing ourselves for God to use us. We are not trying to be smart. We are preparing ourselves for God to use. We are not trying to do anything per se. We are preparing ourselves for God to use. That's so crucial for Christians to get. I'll say it again and again. We are not trying to create anything by ourselves or achieve anything. We are making ourselves vessel of honor, prepared for the master's use. That's what we are. That's why we must be careful when we are assessing what we are doing. Now, I give a number of reasons why. Of course, we've seen why people do business, what the world talks about, why they're advancing their career. All of that is to make more money. Basically, is to have a secure future, be able to educate my children anywhere in the world I want. So the things that they say is primary. But that we have seen that's not what the Bible talks about. That's not what it recommends for believers. Believers are supposed to trust God for all of these things. What will happen to my children tomorrow? I pray for them today. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. It says, even though you are poor, you are a single mother with two sons to raise, if you lay hands on those children and pray for them, they can become American Secretary of Housing. That is the story of Ben Carson I just told you. Are you getting my point? The mother was a teenager when she had those boys. Then the father left them because he was a devious man, wasn't straight. Yet, as a little boy, when they told the mother, I would like to be a doctor. They were very poor. Medical education in America is expensive. It's not Nigeria federal schools. Nigeria federal schools is almost free. And you see people will be striking and complaining every time. I laugh. Better be celebrating your advantages. And then, when I see students, I say, if I slap your mouth, your teeth will dislocate. That is noise you are making. Go to America first. Whether your father can even send you to university at all. Now you're in medical school, you're opening your mouth. Anyway, there things are very costly. There was no hope, humanly speaking. But the woman said to the son, all we need to do is ask God. And that's what they did. Laws were written, events were arranged until he became what they asked God that he would be. Yes, I was writing the book, and I remembered his story again when he was going to fail an exam, and he begged God for help. And an angel walked into a classroom and wrote the questions on the board for him, solved them, and walked out. By the time his eyes opened, the place was empty again. And then he realized that God had just revealed. And next day he came for the exam. Just what the angels did yesterday was there. God helped him. Then one day became the renowned neurosurgeon, a man that had the voice in the U.S. Was it last year? People were advising him to run for president. And he decided to do it. He did it well at a point. Then he drew back when Donald Trump overtook everybody. And then he endorsed Donald Trump. Donald Trump won the election. And Donald Trump now named him yesterday as the Secretary of Housing. That's from being nothing. That's how you handle your children's destiny. It's not with your money. If you have money and you hope in it, they will be on drugs. Are you getting my point? Look, you must get that point. Go and ask Pastor Paul the story of him and his brothers. There I heard his brother tell his own story. His father used to give him $50,000 or pounds annually as pocket money. As a young teenager in school in the UK. What did they do every weekend? Party. And party is not Nigerian party of Ogogoro. No. When Americans say they are partying, you're talking about cocaine and weed. That's a party. It's normal with them. Alcohol is when people are sane. When they want to party, this boy said that's what they did weekends. Then he ran away from there. When he was trying to go to university, he went to the US. He said, thank God. I'm finally leaving that mad place called London. He said, if I thought London was fast, he said US was on jet speed. If their mother worships God, it's not out of love for God, it's out of gratitude for what he did in the life of her sons. Our boy was deported from US because he was crazy. He was on drugs. But their father had a lot of money. The money could not. You know, when he's rich man, begin go to church late in life. Just no say omo wahala day. So you see, you don't hope in your wealth. That's why Paul wrote to them, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Instruct those who are rich in this world not to fix their hope on riches, for riches are uncertain. They can't make your child go well in life. They can pay for the best education, but they can't pay for good behavior. The boy will sit down, the best lecturers will be there. He's not listening. Because he's stoned. You gave him money with which he fried his own brain. You want your children to do well, don't hope on your money. Don't work for that purpose. Pray for them. That's the thing. That's why we are believers. Why do we do what we do, therefore? I just want to go over them. I've talked about this again and again. These are the reasons why we pursue, why we do business, why we work, why we pursue a career. There are a number of rules. Number one, I'm not putting them in any particular order. I just want to go through them again. One, we want to be a blessing. We are the gift of God to this earth. Are you getting my point? There's a solution inside me that somebody else does not have. If I don't get up and deploy it, I will deny people. Number one, I want to be a blessing. Number two, I want to establish righteousness. Like I said, no particular order. I'm just, as I'm remembering them, I'm listing them out. I want to establish righteousness. What do I mean by righteousness? I want to teach people the proper way to do things. When Henry Ford began the Ford Motor Company. That was his purpose. He wasn't trying to be rich. He just said the way business is being done is wrong. And he said the success of the Ford Motor Company is not about the machine that bears the name Ford. He says, my way of telling people, in summary, let me use my own words now, but it's my way of telling people that the way you people were doing things, I've been saying to you for a long time, your way was wrong. My way was right. Or my way is right. Now I've proven to you that I'm right. Now go and learn my ways. And that's the truth. Everybody, mass production, wages, warranty, everything. These were the things he taught people. And every motor company on this earth and other companies, they use the same principle now. So that's what I mean by establishing righteousness. Righteousness means the way of doing things that's correct. So that's one thing we do. We come out to teach righteousness. Also, we come out to demonstrate the excellence of God. You understand my point? Which is also ingrained in all of these other things. It's intertwined. This is how, that is, you represent God for people. We give him, that is, we show forth his name. He said we have been called to show forth his excellencies. These are the reasons why we do what we do. Those are the things. And then, of course, just like when Pastor Kimuti was praying earlier, he said a man was given a talent, he was given a gift, and he kept it very well. Gave it back to the master intact, and he was judged unfaithful. That this faithfulness is to multiply that which you have been given. Bezalel and Oholiab, God gave them the gift of the craftsman, and then he gave them the ability to teach others also. That is, after Bezalel will have worked for some time, you come after 15 years, you will find at least 20 other Bezalels around. Yeah. Are you getting my point? Yes, so when you come, Bezalel, please, we want to make this beautiful carving to decorate this made of pure gold. Ah, you say, I'm very busy. Oh, by the way, I don't want gold anymore. Why? There are so many of my boys that can do it as well. Teach others also. So Bezalel had a duty, not to make money for his family, but to make sure the skill is passed on to other people. Very, very important. There's one man in our profession. I won't tell you which specialty. He brags so much about how he's this. Anytime you meet him, he talks so much about himself, it turns you off within 10 minutes. But one thing that all of us know is that he did not reproduce himself in anybody. One day somebody said, why does he talk so much about himself? I said, because nobody talks about him. Now, so what I'm trying to say is that Bezalel is not supposed to just make money for his family, but to multiply the gift of God that's in him. That's why we do what we do. Do you understand my point here? That's why we do what we do. You know, just personal testimony. If you know how many times people have, one day one man calls me, you were talking on radio. Sunday we put, that's our SU man in the north. One day he and I were talking. He said, one day I heard a young man on radio, and I told people in the car with me, this man listens to Banky. I said when? He described it, what time? In the morning, around 9. I said, that's okay, Muti. He said, he doesn't know him, but some people confused the two of us. He knew my voice very well. He said, no, that. He said, this guy. One day I was listening to one radio program broadcast from somewhere in Enugu, not Enugu now, outside. So the young man spoke for some time. He will say something. I told my wife, this guy is quoting, he's giving my illustrations, quoting my scriptures, giving my opinion. I said, I don't know who he is, but then they mentioned his name. I said, oh, broji.com. That's this guy who's in Kano now. What is his name? Joseph. I said, oh, I was just at home on a Sunday morning. I don't know how I stumbled on that radio station. The guy talked for like 30 minutes. I told my wife, no. The guy went, So these are my illustrations. These are the scriptures I quote to support this point. These are the points I make all the time. Finally, the nurse said, all right, only mention his name. I just laughed. I said, oh, now a guy. I hope you are getting my point here. So that's it. That's what we do, what we do. And of course, last of all, okay? If we are working with our hands, we get paid. So we make money. Are you getting my point? Making money, however, is not number one. Why we need to say all of this, and I always put the money thing last, is that people sometimes sacrifice some things, and that is wrong. Money is not the purpose, it's just a measure. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
money helps you know. If you are doing business, because sometimes, you know, those days when my wife will be doing something, and let me use your car. I said, look, this is my car you are using, this is my disc you are using, my printer. I said, I need you to put a cost on them. He said, no, I'm trying to get this thing started. You know, I said, no, I'm not saying you should pay. I'm saying just put a cost. If you don't put a cost on it, you'll be making false profit. You now tell somebody that I invested 1 million and I made 1 million. You forget that my car drove you around. My fuel. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
And somebody else will now be doing the same thing. I'll be making 100,000. And you now be seeing that you don't know how to do business. You forget that that one is a man in the house. He's the one that's bringing the car, bringing the fuel. Nobody is supporting this thing he's doing. I had to insist. I told my wife, no, I don't. Look, after a while, she thought I was being hard. I said, you don't get it. You are going to declare false profit, and it's not right. You must know the cost of everything you are doing. Go and read my favorite scripture, Proverbs 27, verse 23 there. Know the condition of your flock. You must know it. And she actually met one woman then. They were friendly for some time, but she hasn't seen the woman in a while now. This woman was doing business. She was selling things, importing things and selling. Now, what my wife was selling for maybe like 9,000. The woman said she's selling for 8,000 naira. And my wife is alarmed. How are you managing? And some people now say, this other woman's things are cheaper. I said, I don't know why she does it. So after sitting her down for a while, she found out that that woman was not doing business. She was throwing away money. Of course, she was always folding up. Business. One day, the woman introduced my wife to her relative. She said, somebody will supply you these clothes, imported clothes. Said that this fellow is my brother's wife or something, but close relative. He said, go and meet her. You buy in bulk. He said, but don't tell her I sent you. Oh, I said, why not? What? I mean, it's a relative. Your relative. And you're bringing her business. Make a long story short, the truth was that she was owing that woman too much money. That's when my wife now understood how she was losing money. She didn't have a car to move around and all of that. She didn't factor in the cost of moving around. She sells on credit, did not factor in the cost of recovering her money. Didn't factor any of those things in. But people used to give her goods on credit. Oh, it's my brother's wife, my relative. Come, give her goods worth a millionaire, sell and give me money. So she said, okay, this is, they are giving me at 7,000, 6, I can sell it for 8,000, 400 naira is decent profit, you know, that kind of thing. And she was supposedly making 400 naira per sale. Except that cost of moving around, cost of, like Shark Tank would teach, what they call customer acquisition. She didn't factor all of those things in, and she did not know. So when it's time to pay, she never had money to pay the people. She was not wicked, she wasn't stealing. One is, okay, I gave you goods worth a million. Where's my 1 million? She'll have only 850,000. Oh, in that process, you have to eat. A lot of people don't know that. That's why we are doing business. Even if you are getting something for free, put value on it. And thank God for it, but put value on it. You are selling, you get a free slot on radio to talk about your goods. Note the value of that advert. Because if you don't, you are going to teach people what is wrong. You have to put a value to everything. You know, women are very interesting. No insult intended. Bishop, 5 minutes, please. I want to borrow it. Now, women are very interesting. And I don't mean any insult, okay? But you see, let me tell you why you need to talk about these things, so that you know your weaknesses. Do you get my point? You know your weaknesses and guard against them. Have you ever heard this thing before, that women give attention to details? Have you heard that before? I don't know who started that lie. That thing is not true. That is so, it's a big lie. It's a lie. Women, listen to me. They are lying to you. You don't give attention to details anything. They give attention to funny details. Like, what's the color of the house? How the lines are arranged? Give a woman a car, you know whether she gives attention to details. They will drive the car for 1 year, won't check the oil. Is that attention to details? It can give attention to the details. Is the color red or mauve or turquoise or all those funny things? But give me attention to real detail. My experience as a man, I've been married for some time, relating with many ladies here and there, and my friend's wives, I hear Okemote talk about his wife. You know, I heard all of those things. The summary is that it is not true that women give attention to details. I don't know who started that lie. It is totally not true. They give attention to the details like the baby was born. What's the baby? What's the weight? Did he smile immediately? Did he not smile immediately? They give attention to details. But real details, detail gone, gone. You know, the ones that matter. No. I'm not aware of that. I'll tell my wife sometimes. Yeah. No, but it's true. Look, these are facts too. No, they can give attention to detail. How many locks are in the hair? He said, the woman, Peter, I told her to use only 650 locks. She used like 652. That one. Why did I even go into that? I found out that, look, a lot of times, this detail thing is where people lose it. Let me give you what I'm trying to say. Once, I went to Lagos. Mom said she saw where they are selling some things cheap. Something that we use in the house, like food or something. I can't remember what exactly now. That her friend said they sell in this particular supermarket in Lagos and it's cheap. So she buys it, she's going to buy. So I said, no problem. I want to do something in Lagos with my friend's car, we're moving up and down. She was, you know, okay, where is that street? We're looking for the place. Finally, we found it. Two men and two women at 8:30, 9 o'clock in Surulere in Lagos, looking for a supermarket that sells something cheap. No problem. Then time to buy. Pay now. POS machine began to give problems. I'm not looking for ATM to collect money to pay. I was just looking. No problem. We finished buying. They came into the car. So I asked my wife, how much have you saved? I can't remember for sure. But you know, you do, sometimes we just walk by emotions. Assuming it's ketchup. It's not ketchup, but let's just assume it's ketchup. And she used a lot of it at home. So I said, okay, how much per bottle? How many bottles do you buy? This is not what happened. I'm just using to illustrate. Okay, you bought 20 bottles. Thank God, 20 is a lot. Okay, good. So how much is ketchup? Somebody tell me. Listen, I just want to get an example. Okay, let's assume it's 500 naira in Enugu. And that supermarket in Lagos is selling for 350, which is a massive difference. Is it not? Yes. It's massive. It's massive. Come on. It's massive. You understand why a woman will go to Lagos and buy? Except I said, okay, 20 bottles, 150. How much is that? 3,000 naira. I said, fine, thank you. You saved 3,000 naira on this purchase. Now let's start valuing our time and fuel that we used to save 3,000 naira. Four adults, with the risk of driving around at night in Lagos. And that kind of way, when you give a man, please, help me find a selling cheap in Lagos. He won't argue with you. You collect the money. Add the 3,000 naira. Go to Roba and pay. Keep it somewhere. Then he'll go to Lagos. Come back, carry the load. Where may I catch your siam? Because the 3,000 naira. I sat my wife down that day and I showed her how even though she saved money, we lost money. That was when she woke up to, wow, it's true. I was very funny because I remember this was years ago. It was our 10th anniversary and my wife said that, let her buy her husband something. And she bought me two pairs of Italian shoes. And you know how much Italian shoes cost. So you can blow that amount of money on Italian shoes, then you make me drive around the whole of Surulere. It wasn't up to 3,000, sir. It wasn't up to 3,000. I just used that one to illustrate. I said, you didn't value the time, the fuel, everything. Because they are intangible. You know, they are not easily, I don't use the word intangible cost. They don't easily come up to mind. And that's why the Bible had to instruct. Make sure you know the condition of your flock. I've seen people every day, they use 1,000 naira to pursue a business that will yield them 500. I'm not saying you will never do that, but you have to look for the other advantages. There must be. You must know exactly what else. Because if it's cash, and that's why God gave us money. You use money to value things. Otherwise, we won't be productive. We think we are being productive. You see a lot of movement, but no directional movement, motion. You're not moving in any particular direction, but you are going up and down. You are going up and down. And that's why God gave us money. That's why if you are doing business, if you are not doing accounts, you will fail. Guaranteed. That's the reason why money is there. It's a measure of how well we are doing what we are doing. I hope you got my point. Yes, sir. All right, I've taken a bit more time than Bishop gave to me, but I think I'm done. I can go and sit down. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Wow, beautiful. Please, another round of applause for Pastor Banky, please. That was a very powerful session for me. I don't know about you, but sincerely, that was very powerful. And I just want to mention one or two things that Pastor said during his message. When he talked about that every income has the seed part and the food part. I just want to direct us, recommend some messages to us for those of us that are joining us probably today for the first time or you've not been around with us. Even those that have been around, please. There are two messages I want to refer us to so as we can get more understanding of that part. Number one is your money. There is a series Pastor taught some years back titled Your Money. In that message, you will learn a lot about how to handle money, how to apportion money to different things in your life. The part to give, the part to keep, the part to put, enjoy on your own, the part to put as seed. That message will help you a lot. So please, when we finish, ask the people at the tape stand about that message. Another one is seeds. Seeds is S-E-E-D-S. You know, Nigeria had needs we had at a point, National Economic Empowerment and Development Strategies, and the states had theirs, which was also seeds, states economic empowerment. Now, Kingdom World, Pastor Banky taught spiritual economic empowerment and development strategies some years back. I was part of that teaching, and it changed my life forever. So I want to also recommend those messages to us, because I believe they will change our lives. Praise the Lord. Yes, we'll continue with our discussions on business and career. Please, sincerely, take these teachings very serious. If you can jot down things, please do, because you will need them after today to make references to for your further studies. You know, we learned about the second level of hearing. You know, when you are doing your second hearing, sometimes you make references. You want to check your notes. You want to call a friend. You want to check your Bible. These are resources that will always help you for your second learning, second hearing. Because for me, I just heard something today that I've been hearing in a very long time, but somehow it made a different meaning. You know, we follow Forbes, you follow all these ratings, and somewhere along the line, you begin to sleep. You begin to measure yourself. There is a recent one that are doing in Nigeria now, 40 under 40. Like, I don't know whether you've heard about that, 40 under 40. You know, they do it for different sectors. You know, Lagos sector, different sectors, 40 under 40. At least 40 people doing great things under the age of 40 years. You know, there is even 30 under 30. You know, sometimes you see some of these things, and social media has not helped matter. Social media has not helped matter. You see these things, and you begin to, somewhere along the line, you begin to measure yourself, you know, when they give their achievements. Begin to wonder, am I not playing? Are these people not, you see, look at me, under 30, I didn't achieve this thing when I was 30. These people, you know. So somehow you begin to sleep, you begin to push yourself towards achieving like those people. But the truth is that our life is not a function of what we have acquired. It's not a function of how much is in our bank account. For me, I've come to understand that those things are a sign of how much impact you are having. If you're not having impact, you will not be having money. Let me put it that way. You know, when I was much younger, when you hear 1 million, 1 million, it will be looking like one big money out there, as if when you get it, it will fill the whole room. When I made my first 1 million, I was asking questions, please, Is this the same 1 million they have been talking about? Yes, sincerely, as a young child, I was thinking that 1 million will fill the whole room. In fact, I had to go to the bank to withdraw it, to bring out everything. Say, this 1 million that I've been talking about. I brought out everything so as to be sure that this is 1 million. And it did not fill even the table in my house. But for some people, I was explaining this to someone some time ago. He said, Uncle Bishop, leave that thing first. Let's make the 1 million first. I was trying to tell the person, see, in your mind, you think money is something big. One day you will come to understand that money is nothing big. You will seek for better value. You will seek for better impact. I have a friend that works with Orlando. He earns a lot. He earns a lot. Very, very much. One day he was in my house in the evening like this. We were just gisting. And he said, man, that this money is nothing. No. This is someone that goes on vacation with the family, fully paid expense every year. As in, he earns a lot of money. In fact, he's so highly placed in Orlando. So he was like talking. You know, somewhere inside my heart, inside, you know, we're like the big guy, you know. He's earning a lot of money, the big guy. And that he was like, money is nothing, no. I said, guy, what are you talking about? He said, money is nothing, no. It's when you start earning a lot of money that you begin to ask yourself, what is this life really all about? Is it about money? He said that he wakes up every morning, he goes to this work. Yes, he earns a lot of money. The family is enjoying a level of luxury. But the truth is, he's not happy. He said this to me, that he's not happy. But the bad part is that he can't resign. he can't resign. How can you convince the wife? I want to pursue purpose. What kind of purpose? They want to pursue destiny. What kind of... So, he said a lot of things, actually. He said a lot of things. And I was just looking at him in my mind, like, seriously. As in, like, seriously, with all that you are earning, you are saying this thing. Then this thing is a very serious matter. It's a very serious matter. And from that time, I told myself, God, please help me. Help me. Let me not pursue money. Help me to pursue purpose to make impact in this life. In fact, someone explained something to me some days back. And I was like, this is very powerful. He said that people want to have children. Why? Because they want someone to carry on with their name. He said, but the thing is this. When you have children and you don't teach them, it don't impact into their lives before they enter into university, that you've lost them. And any child that you do not teach properly before going into university, you've lost that child, meaning that you've lost that name you are trying to keep. Say, to keep your name, you don't need children. To keep your name, you need to live. How many children does Nelson Mandela have? Can somebody tell me? How many children does Martin Luther King have? Who knows? He said, we don't know. But their name is still with us. It's not about the children. It's about you living. Live your life and make an impact. That your name will be here forever. Yes. Like Pastor Banky will teach some time ago. He said, Paul. The Paul that we read his epistles up to today. What kind of car did he drive? What kind of chariot did he drive? How many buildings did he build? Do we know? What was Paul's wife's name? Okay, he didn't marry. His relatives. Did he know any? No, don't know any of them. In fact, we were watching one picture yesterday. Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates. They were together, you know, like chatting. And there was a caption. Like 34 or 54 billion. Okay, 100 and something billion in one picture, and there's no Gucci belt in view. 100 and something billion dollars in one picture, and there's no Gucci belt in view. When you begin to make money, you understand it's not about show. It's not about impressing anybody. Life is beyond impressions, being the big guy, you know, showing off and all those things. Let us be careful. For us that are in business and want to pursue our careers, make sure that you're not doing it because in your family there are a lot of professors, so you want to join. In your family, you want to be part of those who made money, who built house, who did this one, who did this one. Let's be very, very careful that our life is beyond that. You will build houses. Amen. You will build in your village, you will build in Nigeria, you will build in America, you will build for people, you will dash people. Amen? But even at that, our life is not measured by that. Amen. I listened to someone who was explaining about the being a slave and being a son, talking about Christians. He said something. A lot of explanations, but let me just pick one part. That Christians basically today, Nigerian Christians basically, are slaves, are sons. That what God does is this. You are a son. He allows you all the privileges of being a son. You are the owner of everything. But because of that thing, the Bible says that as long as the son is still a child, he's not different from the slave. He doesn't say something. If the slave is wiser than the son at that level, the slave will be handling every other thing. The father will make sure the child doesn't miss anything. Doesn't everything he needs in life. He needs a chopper. He needs whatever he needs. But he can't commit to him real riches. That the way we are today, God has committed the real riches to the servants out there. That we are the sons. You need a car. He gives you a car. You need a house. You want to wear fine suits. He gives you. But most of us, we've not sat down to say, God, what do you really want me to do on this earth to show forth your glory? I like the three things Pastor listed while we walk. We don't walk basically because of money. We want to establish God's excellency on this earth. But some of us have not sat down to say, what is my part in that establishing your excellency, O God? We want food. We want that. He gives them to us. But what is my part? What really do you want me to do to make sure that this earth is filled with your glory? We don't get to ask that question. We don't get to sit down to ask that. And that is why we are sons. And we are sons that don't serve. We need to get into the servant mode so that we can do big things for God. In our businesses, in our careers, I want you to know that yes, you are a son, but sort of strip yourself of that privilege and take the privileges or take the position of a servant and we'll go for hallelujah. Amen. Amen.